Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here tonight. It's wonderful to have this opportunity. You know, you just never know how many more opportunities we're going to have to gather and study the Word. And it is such an amazing thought when we realize that the Lord Jesus is right here with us, right here in our midst. Oh, there may not be great numbers here tonight, but wherever two or three are gathered together, He's right there, and He's right here with us. So I'm thankful for that tonight. Before we do anything, though, I'm going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, Thy mercy, Thy kindness towards us. Thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us yet another opportunity to come before Thee. And we thank Thee for Thy promises, for the understanding that Thou art here with us. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here this night upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And I pray, O God, that Thou would inspire us to truly worship Thee, to truly give Thee our hearts. Let everything we do here tonight be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's start with number 11 in the chorus book. I know we sing this one quite often, but it's a wonderful chorus. Let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord.
And praise. Let's just
just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's never the wrong time to praise God. We can do that wherever we are, whatever we're doing. In fact, we should. No matter where we are, we should never be afraid to praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 94 and sing, "Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him." Number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him wherever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him wherever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surround me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus. You like praising the Lord, because that's something we're going to be doing an awful lot of when we get to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In fact, we will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Let's go to number 169 and sing that chorus. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Number 169. Of the mercies of the Lord forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever I will sing. Of the mercies of the Lord with my love will I linger. Of the mercies of the Lord forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever I will sing. The Lord. In fact, why don't we go over to number 124, and sing the garment of praise, number 124. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and understand. Magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit. Number 40, and sing, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're on this page anyway. Why not sing number 44, Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, and give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To worship the Lord. Praise God. And you know, we need the Lord to make us what we ought to be. He's the only one who can do it. So why not sing number 47, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Tim, would you mind helping us out? Yeah. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us, for Thy many blessings, Thy love and Thy care towards us, for Thy guiding hand. For we know that we would be completely lost and helpless without Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Help us, O God, to be what You want us to be, I pray, Lord. And I ask, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose and for Thy glory. I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus, number 91, without Him, because we truly would be helpless without Him. Number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we would be helpless without Him. We do need His help so very much. We're going to be getting started with our Bible study momentarily, but I did get a note from Jane. She said there's some technical difficulties in the back, so I'm going to go check on that, and hopefully we can... You fixed it? Okay, good, wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that it's back and working again. That means we can just go ahead and get started with the Bible study right away. Praise God. All right, we'll turn it over to Shirley.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good to see you, Vicki. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see everybody in reality. And it's, I'm glad for everybody online, too. It's wonderful hope and a joy to be able to minister for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that we have His Word. And praise the Lord. I love what He shows us. And you know, it's not always the easiest thing to see, but you know, God uses that word so that we can inherit eternal life and be His children. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to be here mightily. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again that we have this wonderful privilege here. We thank You, Lord, for the ways You've helped us, God. Oh, Lord, oh, God, for I know we're all on a journey here. This life is a journey, God, and it has all its twists and turns. It has its bends, oh, God. It has its moments, Lord. Oh, God, and I ask, oh, Lord, that You would have mercy on us as we walk this world, as we walk this troubled sea, oh, Lord, of life here, God. And I'm just praying, oh God, that You would help us all, oh God, to get to that place that we need to be in You, Lord. Oh God, that we could respond properly to the things that You would show us, Lord. Oh God, that You would open up the things that we need to see, Lord. And God, I pray that You would bind the strong man, oh Lord, and everything that would seek, oh Lord, to hinder, to seek to destroy, Lord. Oh God, to come at us, oh Lord Jesus. But Lord, I pray that You give us victory, Lord. I pray that You would give us faith. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would talk to us, oh Lord, oh God. Oh Lord, for we are poor and needy, oh God. Help us, Lord. Make us what we ought to be in You, Jesus. Take us to that higher ground, oh Lord. And God, I pray that You'd use this here tonight, oh God, that You would open up our hearts, our understanding, our minds, oh God, that we would do Your pleasure, that we would do Your will, Lord, that we'd be overcomers, Lord, that we would worship You, Lord, oh God, that our hearts would be surrendered to You, Lord. I pray that You'd help those, oh Lord, that have great needs, Lord. Oh God, and all of us, Lord, as we, oh Lord, seek Thy face and need Thee every hour, Lord. Oh God, we surely could do nothing without You, Lord. And I pray that You'd be here in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, that You talk to our hearts, open up our hearts. Oh God, do make us what we ought to be, Lord. Oh God, as we seek Thy face, Thy need, Thy favor, Lord. Oh God, our needs, oh Lord, we bring before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for this privilege. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, our God is good. I just think it's wonderful when He speaks to our hearts and shows us things that we need to see. Praise the Lord. We do serve a God who does know how to come through for each and every one of us. You know, he's a God that doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. You know, he's not lazy. He's always there hearing us, always available for our momentary needs. And you know, he's always the same, consistent and faithful. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to serve a God like that, a God that, you know, we can totally depend upon. I just don't know any other anchor like that. I don't know any other resource like that. I don't know anyone like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And, you know, he's given us many great and wonderful promises. In fact, it tells us that they're exceeding great and precious promises. And what a wonderful thing it is to look into them, to hold on to them, to believe in them. You know, if we could just grasp the things that are in God's Word, if we could just grasp his promises, you know, they are yea and amen. You know, they're not yea and nay. You know, it's not one way or the other in that case. It's yea. In God, it's yea. And, you know, he wanted so desperately for us to realize his promises that because he could swear by no greater than himself, he swore by himself that he cannot lie. Two immutable oaths that he cannot lie, you know, reassuring Abraham that even though things seemed way out there, you know, it seemed impossible that he could have a child at his age, yet God was reassuring him and telling him, if I've said it, it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. That's the confidence that we have in God, knowing that what he has declared, that he will do. And praise the Lord, we can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be going to Exodus tonight and talking about that wonderful thing that we can come to the Lord and trust in him, fearing not, standing still, and realizing, seeing the salvation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Let's just go there now, just to Exodus, the 13th chapter, and just see what he shows us here tonight. We're going to kind of dive into the middle of Exodus 13 here, and we know that this chapter takes place after the children of Israel have escaped out of Egypt, and of course God brought them out with a mighty deliverance. They were brought out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and I think that's something that they kind of wanted to forget after a while. They kind of forgot how servile they were to those Egyptians, how they were slaves in Egypt, and how it was a terrible bondage that they were under there in Egypt. And of course that represents sin, and we know that as children of the Lord that he has brought every one of us out of great bondage. Oh yes, as we were held to the things of this world, and as you know, we served our flesh and we served the devil and you know, the things of this world, you know, the things that had captured us and captivated us, and you know, there was no hope really without the Lord. People come up with books and resources and philosophies and all this and that, but who could deliver us from sin but the Lord Jesus? Who can set us free but the Lord Jesus? There is none other. Praise the Lord. And if we've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've been set free and delivered, then we have so much to give thanks for. Oh my, there's just nothing besides that, you know, that's greater than what the Lord has done for us in setting us free and delivering us from that house of bondage. Praise the Lord. But it seems that the Israelites had a little trouble with that. And, you know, as the years went by, and even as days went by, they had a little trouble, it seems like, remembering how desperate they were back in that time when they were in Egypt. And Pharaoh, being that terrible, hard taskmaster that he was, you know, and demanding more and more and more. Oh my, they didn't know what it was like to have freedom under those circumstances. But praise the Lord, there was a time that they cried out and God sent them a deliverer. God sent Moses to deliver them. And that was a wonderful thing. But let's go to Exodus, the 13th chapter, and let's look at verse 17 here to begin and see what all we have here to contemplate, to think on. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." And it tells us that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." So they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Okay, let's just pause here a moment. And you know, truly, God's ways are not our ways. And, you know, I'm sure the Israelite people didn't fully understand how God was leading them. It's a wonderful thing to be led by God. There's no doubt about that. And as His children, we have that privilege to be led by God. He's given us the Holy Ghost. One of its purposes is to lead and to guide us into all truth, and to steer us properly, moment by moment and day by day. But here it is, God is leading them. He took them out of Egypt, and you know, it wasn't that they had to go a great distance to get into the promised land, Canaan land, but God had something else in mind. You know, He wasn't going to take them the direct route. He was going to take them a longer way. And He had His reasons. It names a reason here, the 17th verse here, that, you know, God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." Well, I'm sure that was a very big point there, you know. He knew their disposition. He knew their hearts, their ways of thinking, and He knew their tendencies. And you know, there was, you know, completely that possibility that if we made it too easy for them, that they would return to Egypt. And you know, war could very possibly send them the other way. So anyway, God had His reasons, and I think also He was going to be testing them, and I believe it tells us that even in the book of Deuteronomy. But He was going to see just what they had in their hearts, how deep they really were, you know, if they really meant business, or, you know, if they were just, you know, drifting around. But anyway, so it was, He led them through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And it says they went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. They were prepared, actually. In that case, they were harnessed, and even perhaps for battle, if that connotation is proper there with harnessed. And they had done what Joseph had requested. I love the faith of Joseph. He obviously knew that someday God was going to take them out of Egypt. And, you know, he knew that he didn't want his bones to stay there. And so he made them promise that, you know, When you come out of Egypt, take my bones with you. Carry up my bones. Don't leave them here. Paraphrasing. So they were doing that. They were taking the bones of Joseph. And, they took their journey. It says from Succoth, and they encamped in Etham, and it was at the edge of the wilderness. And here they are. Beautiful thing is, it tells us in verse 21 that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night, And it tells us that he took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So it was as if God was continually before them, leading and directing them so that they didn't have to wonder. They could know when, that cloud stopped, then they would stop. It was time to rest, And when it was time to go, God would begin to show them that it was time to go. That pillar of a cloud or the pillar of fire would begin to direct them and lead them. And, that seems pretty easy. If you're being directed and, God's providing for you, taking care of everything, and you can just rely on him and have confidence in God, that seems like that's pretty easy when you know the way. But God is our good shepherd, as Jesus so beautifully put it in the 10th chapter of John, and I just want to go there for a few minutes. And, one purpose of a shepherd is to lead the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying in the 10th chapter of John. Of course, he told us, first verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." We know there's so many that try another way. They might want to even call themselves a Christian, but if they're going another way, another direction, if they're not holding on to the words in the scripture, then they're going up another way. And then it tells us in verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." They know his voice. And I think that sounds pretty easy too, if we're just going to submit to the Lord, and acknowledge that we're one of his sheep, and believe that we're one of his sheep. We sure want to be one of his sheep. He's going to go before us, it tells us. He's going to lead us. And besides, if we're his sheep, we're going to know his voice. And it tells us in verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So praise the Lord, if somebody else comes as, a pretender and tries to bring about another way, we should recognize and realize right away that, no, that's not the voice of a shepherd. That's just somebody that's pretending. That's just a stranger. And I'm not going to listen to that individual. I'm not going to heed that voice. And it tells us in verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So Jesus was going to make it clearer to them. He said in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, what a beautiful purpose. Oh, yes, those that are pretenders, those that are false shepherds, come with other purposes and motives.
and desires to lead the sheep astray, not to protect them, not to keep them, not to bring them the words of life. But you know, they have other motives. They come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life, everlasting life. And not only that, that we might have it more abundantly. Oh yes, a full, complete life in the Lord Jesus. And he explains, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. That's what's happened again and again. All throughout the world, in pulpits, there's people that are hirelings that stand there and fleece the people in more than one way and fake it, bringing about another gospel in another way, really not caring for the sheep because, you know, if you care, you're going to proclaim truth. It's only the truth that's going to set us free. There's only one way to God, and if we don't declare it, then we're not leading anybody to Jesus. We're not leading anybody to the door. We're just a hireling, in other words. But praise the Lord, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, in verse 14, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. We know him, and he knows us. And it says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, praise the Lord. He foresaw that there were Gentiles that would come to him, that would heed the gospel, that would hear his voice and know his voice and come to him, and he would bring them together so that there would be one fold and one shepherd, one gospel, one message, one way, whether you are a Jew or whether you are a Gentile. What a wonderful thing. And he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Of course, we know that Jesus, as a good shepherd, laid down his life for us. Oh, yes. You know, there was a purpose behind that cross of Calvary. There was something very tremendous going on at that moment when the Lord Jesus was there on the cross, shedding his blood. Oh, yes, taking on our sins, making a way so that we could come to the door, so that we could be recipients of full and complete salvation. He was bringing us to himself. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was that he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And so he did. Not only did he lay it down, but he had power to take it up again. And we know that the grave could not hold him. His body saw no corruption. And praise the Lord, he is a resurrected Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I think that is symbolic of the way the Lord led them. Going back to Exodus now. There in the times of old when he was leading them out of Egypt into the promised land, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. It says he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So he was continually leading them, the good shepherd, leading them if they would just follow, they would just listen, if they would just give heed, they would just submit to him, all would be well. Then going into the 14th chapter of Exodus here, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall, ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will follow, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he should follow after them, And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now I imagine this is all going to be a little strange to these Israelite people, because as I already mentioned, he could have taken them much easier direct route into Canaan land. But God had his way. He had his plan, and he had a purpose. And, you know, this might have seemed rather peculiar at this moment. You know, here they were encamping between the sea and Migdol. And, you know, God had something else going on while they were there. It is indeed true that Pharaoh had hardened his heart, and God had allowed it to be so. And you know, after he had let the people go, he began to regret it and think, why did I let them go? You know, they were such a good business for us. They were doing all our hard labor. They were building our pyramids and doing all these other tasks that no one else would want to do. And he seemed to begin to regret having let them go. But God had allowed it as such. God had actually hardened his heart so that something else would happen, so that God would be able to show himself, his power and his might to the Egyptians in a way beyond what they had already seen. And so it was, yeah, they began to think, well, you know, they're in the wilderness. They're wandering around and, you know, they're probably all entangled and great problems, you know. I mean, it was a great multitude of people. There were 600,000 men in among them, plus, I'm sure, women, and plus children, and it was a great multitude of people. And here they were in that great and terrible wilderness where scorpions and snakes were, where there wasn't any water, and, you know, it wasn't a very likely place to survive, especially a great multitude of people. And, you know, they had left in such a quick way that they hadn't been able to take a whole lot of provisions other than what they had taken from the Egyptians, because God had allowed that. But here they are. So Pharaoh was beginning to figure out, well, you know, we could probably really catch them now. You know, I don't know why in the world I let them go, but, you know, let's go. Let's go after them. And so he tells us in verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. The heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And so, what did they do? It tells us in verse 6, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Besides his chariot, he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But here's Pharaoh, all his chariots, and of course, I guess, you know, the horses and the chariots could go a little faster than these people who are walking through the wilderness, and, you know, eventually they kind of are getting closer and closer and closer, and eventually they're going to catch up. And it tells us the Lord, in verse 8, had hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And it's really something, because this is where the Lord led them, and this is God's timing. This is God's will. He's allowed this. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, you know, and here it is. Suddenly, these Israelites, here they are. They're right here in front of the sea, and they're kind of in a place where you can't just go too much further. And all at once, it tells us in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians march after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. All at once they realized, hey, we got rid of them. We left. You know, they let us go. But here they are. Here they are. And here we are. We're encamped right by the sea. And, you know, we can't move. We're just kind of stuck. We're kind of trapped. And so what did these people do? It tells us, first of all, that they were sore afraid. And it says they cried out unto the Lord. But I don't know. I don't think they cried in a very nice way at all. They got very negative very fast, it tells us. And they began to take it out on Moses. Isn't that something? And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They're blaming Moses. Here they have been mightily delivered out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of that servitude, out of that slavery. But here already, not that many days after leaving Egypt, they're realizing that, or they're thinking anyway, that they're trapped. And, you know, instead of having faith and believing God, they got really negative. Oh, yes, that fear came upon them. And we know that, you know, fear does not bring forth faith. They're opposites. And you know, when you're sorely afraid, you're not showing faith. And here they are, thinking it would have been better for them to be back in Egypt after such a great and wonderful deliverance. And they begin to play that blame game. Oh yes, first of all, that why game. Why are we here? What is happening? Why? Wouldn't it have been better to have just died in Egypt rather than to be going forth in this wilderness and now trapped right by the sea? And they blamed Moses. Oh, yes, Moses must have made a mistake. Oh, this couldn't be right. Something is really wrong, you know. And so they began to in a heavy way, in a pathetic way, already forgetting how God had delivered them, instead of showing faith and realizing that God would make a way. All they could see is death and trouble. But praise the Lord, Moses, being led by God, encouraged the people. Moses knew that God was going to make a way. You know, God's ways are not necessarily logical. You know, a lot of times, people will say, well, that's just not common sense. You know, this is what you're telling me to do. It's just, you know, not the typical thing that you would do. It's just not logical to my way of thinking. But we know God's ways are higher than our ways. You know, his thoughts are different than our thoughts. And he has reasons that we can't always see and comprehend. He knows what's good for us as individuals, as a shepherd leading the sheep. He knows. He knows the pitfalls and the dangers and, you know, our tendencies as human beings. And he knows what we need to become strong in the Lord. He knows what we need to endure in order to be able to stand before a righteous God and give an account of our lives. So, praise the Lord, how precious it is if we can just give everything to the Lord and surrender to him. Let him take charge and let him lead and guide, letting him be our shepherd. And here Moses is directing the people in verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you want to call the message by a title, let's call it, Fear Ye Not, Stand Still and See the Salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. It tells us in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, that's a wonderful thing when we can just give everything over to the Lord. We might not be able to figure things out. And I think we all go through those phases where things are not clear. And, you know, we're looking through a glass darkly and it might not make sense at all. And, you know, we might have all kinds of blind sights and not be able to even begin to comprehend how God is leading and directing. The Lord does know how to do it. And here the Israelites seemed like they were trapped. But we serve a God who knows how to do all things. We see a God who is able to do miracles beyond that which we cannot even comprehend. He's able to open up the Red Sea. And, you know, whatever is required for our well-being. And we know that God doesn't make mistakes. He had led them here specifically, particularly, right to this place, and knowing exactly what was going to happen, knowing their attitudes and you know, how they would cry out and how they would, you know, begin to complain and be fearful and start blaming Moses and God, really. But praise the Lord, Moses said, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, God takes us to those places sometimes where, you know, you're at a point where something has to change. You know, you're against a wall and you know you don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. And that wall's got to go somehow. But yet we serve a God who knows how to bring that wall down. Oh yes, there's nothing too tall for God. There's nothing too hard for God. You know, there's nothing too strong for God. There's nothing impossible for God. So praise the Lord. Moses was telling the people to stand still, fear not, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he was going to show them that very day. You know, those Egyptians, you might see them now, but you're going to, oh boy, not see them again forever beyond this point. The Lord's going to fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Just letting God do it. Letting God work. Let God fight our battles. And then it says in verse 15, And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Just don't stand there and do nothing. Hey, we've got to get moving. We've got to do something. We're going to go forward. Just don't stand there and cry. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And then God began to give them specific instructions. Exact instructions. They didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't know how he was going to do it. They were up against a great barrier, a great wall, and they didn't know how they were going to get past it. The Egyptians were on their trail. They were right behind them with a mighty army and all those chariots and all the men of war. And there they were. They were trapped. And it seemed impossible. But we serve a God. Oh, that goes beyond impossibilities. Oh, yes, if we can serve him, he knows how to open doors that seem closed. He knows how to change hearts. He knows how to work on our behalf in mighty ways to bring those finances that are needed to heal that body that's all torn up and sick. Oh yes, even to deliver that person who's dying, if it so be his will. He knows how to fight for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here he told them, yes, don't just cry unto me. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And then he tells them how, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Specific instructions. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them. And I will give me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Oh, praise the Lord. So God was telling them how it was going to be done and why it was going to be done. God wanted glory. He wanted those Egyptians to know who he was. He was going to take vengeance upon them. At that point, they were going to know who God Almighty was. There was going to be no doubt in their mind after this. So praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. God was dividing them. He was making a way so that there was darkness for the Egyptian people who were right behind them, and there was light for his people, the Israelites. He was going to miraculously protect them here now. And in the meantime, what is Moses doing? He tells us in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. All that night, oh, the winds began to blow, and I have a feeling they could hear those winds. Oh, that strong east wind that began to prevail and blow. The waters, as they began to remove themselves. And, oh, a great wall was created on the right hand and on the left hand. A great wall and a path was being brought forth in the midst of the sea so that this great multitude of people could walk through that sea on dry land all night long, yes. That wind blowing, oh yes, and the sea moving until there was this great wall by means of the strong east wind. And sure enough, it tells us in verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Oh yes, and it might have taken quite a long time. There was, you know, this great multitude of people. That would be in the millions as far as how many there were walking in this highway that the Lord had provided for them. The Lord opening up the sea, something that seemed impossible, so that they could walk across it. And yes, the waters that could have destroyed them were like a wall of protection all around them as they walked across that sea upon the dry ground. Of course, the Egyptians were watching. They were ready to pursue. It tells us in verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It tells us in verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Oh, here they are. They're thinking that they could follow. Yes, the Israelites did it. Well, it should be just as simple for us as it was for them. And here they are with, you know, their 600 chariots plus, and you know, their horsemen and their captains and the host of people that were with them, Pharaoh, all of them, and thinking they could cross, and you know, they're probably, you know, getting somewhere, getting some in into the sea. They're walking too, and all at once God allowed them to be troubled. He tells us in verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. All at once they realized that God was not for them. Oh, God was with his people. God was fighting for his people. God was preserving his people and making a way for them. And all at once, these Egyptians are realizing, hey, it's not going so well for us. These chariot wheels are getting caught, and they're not going well. And, oh, we better get out of here. We better flee. Because God is fighting for the Israelites. He's not fighting for us. And here they were in the midst of the sea and wanted to get out of their trouble. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 26, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And so Moses obeyed these instructions that God had given again to direct them. Again, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Oh, they had attempted to escape, but God was not going to allow it. Oh, it certainly is true of God before us. Who can be against us? And God was with his people. And God was showing his power, his might, his authority to these Egyptian people. And there they were as Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. That sea returned to his strength. Yes, when the morning appeared, all at once that water that had been like a wall for the Israelites when they crossed over began to again come back. And the Egyptians, as they began to flee, were overthrown in the midst of the sea. Oh, yes, as they scrambled, as they attempted to escape, they were caught, they were trapped. They were overthrown. It tells us in verse 28, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. I tell you what, God knows how to do it fully and completely. He doesn't leave anything unturned. He knows what details to cover and how to do it. He's never stumped. He's never puzzled. You know, he's never weary. He's never confused. And here it is. He'd taken care of the situation. They didn't know how they were going to get across this water. They didn't know, but God made a way for them, a mighty way, and showed his might, his power, his authority. And surely the Egyptians knew the power and strength of God as they tried to flee, realizing that God was not with them. Oh, yes, they had resisted God. Oh, they had been hindrances. But God knew how to take care of his people and how to take care of the enemy. And praise the Lord, he did it. Tells us in verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Oh, God used this in a mighty way. Oh, God used this to help them to see and understand his power, his might, his ability. Also, helping them to see that they needed to trust Moses, who was leading them and guiding them. Oh, yes, they had discredited him mightily, complaining and talking as they did, you know, and blaming him because, you know, here they were in the wilderness. But But that was inappropriate, wasn't it? It was not right. It was sin unto them to do such things. Thank God for his mercy. God was proving his point and the authority that he had given his servant Moses. Praise the Lord. They were led. And God had done it. And I'll tell you what, when they got through that, they were led into song, into praise. Moses led the children of Israel into song, as it tells us in this next chapter. Oh, they began to sing and worship. It tells us in verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Various chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in thy greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. I like these descriptions here. Verse 8, and with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. You know, God can do everything so simply. You know, it's not hard for God. He made us. He made this world. He made the heavens. You know, there's nothing that he doesn't know. He could do everything with, you know, just by declaring it. And here it explains, with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Oh, there it was, God doing his work, bringing the waters up as a great wall, gathering together as in a heap. And then the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But God Almighty, thou didst blow with thy wind. Oh, that's all it takes. The breath of God to declare it, to do it, to finish it. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Oh, praise the Lord. The will of the Lord is done. Hey, you know, no matter what it looks like in the time period that we live in right now, God's will is going to be done. He puts things in the people's hearts, but it's going to be for their destruction, for their dismissal, for their demise. And you know, God is going to clearly show and prove that he is in charge. And as this psalm of praise ends here, it says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Praise the Lord. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord. God made a way for his people. He had all those waters were as a wall until the people had passed over. Every single one, every single individual, one by one, as they crossed over, they all did. And then God showed his other side with what happened to the Egyptian people. Oh yes, those that thought that they could follow and pursue and take over. Yet God was going to show them his mighty power and his strength. And besides that, those on the other side would hear what God had done. They would hear those of Edom, those of Moab, the inhabitants of Canaan. They would hear what God had done. And it would put fear upon them. They would put dread upon them for the sake of his people. I think we serve the same God right now who's able to hold us up in his hands, to make a way for us, even when it seems like there is no way. He has not changed. And what a wonderful thing it is that he would lead and guide us and take us to that place that we need to be, that place that we are going, that eternal destination that we have. And you know that door of salvation is opened till that last one makes it through to thy people pass over. O Lord, to thy people pass over. The Lord hath great patience and long suffering until his fold is complete, until all those that he has called and chosen are safe within that fold. He has waited for his people to all come forth and to be included among the people of God, those that he would bring forth into his heavenly provisions. Praise the Lord. There's not going to be one that the Lord will leave out. It's a wonderful thing. We think that God is for us. But so it was, the people were so afraid, but yet they were told to fear not, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, in Psalms, the 46th chapter, as that chapter is ending, the psalmist said it similarly. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God is going to have his way. You know, people may think that they're coming against God, that they're going to overwhelm him, that they're going to run over him, that they're going to be in charge and bring forth their new world order and, their millennium that they're talking about. But God is going to show his power and his might. Oh, I'll tell you what, the heathen are going to know who God is one day soon. Yes, he is going to be exalted among the heathen. He is going to be exalted in the earth. And I tell you, if we just turn over to the 50th Psalm, it tells us, how God is going to bring it forth. You look at that Psalm. I think this is wonderful how he describes all these happenings. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth, from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Oh yes, that day of God's wrath. Oh yes, when our God comes, he's no longer going to keep his silence. He's going to come with vengeance. He's going to come to judge. He's going to come with a fire that's going to devour round and about before him and all over, a very tempestuous fire. And here he is. He's going to call to the heavens from above and to the earth. Oh yes, there's that moment he's calling forth. It's completed. God is putting in that sickle. It's It's time to reap the earth. It's time for the harvest to be complete. And here is God. He's calling from above into the earth that he may judge his people. This is the final scenario. And I love how it tells us in verse 5 here in Psalms 50 says, gather my saints together unto me. Gather my people. Gather my saints. I'm reaping the earth, but here we are gathering his people. Those that have made a covenant with me. Those that have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, who have believed and come to him for salvation. Who embraced the gospel and obeyed that message of salvation. Coming to God in repentance and submission and surrender to the will of God. Oh yes, baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, our lives being a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It tells us, the heavens shall declare his righteousness. Oh, they're all going to know all at once, you know, every eye is going to see him. Oh yes, and they which crucified him, they're going to see him and recognize who he is. And they're going to wail and realize this is he whom we rejected. This is he who we could accept. And here he is. Here he's coming as a judge, ready to reap this earth as the avenger. Here he comes. The heavens are going to declare his righteousness. Oh, that righteous judge is going to come and judge according to his righteousness. Not as man judges by any means, but according to his ways, his word, his power, his might. Oh, I think we better listen to what the word of God says. I think we better give it heed, because I'll tell you what, that's how God is going to judge. It's not the way men and women think. It's according to God's ways. It's according to his judgment. For God is judge himself, Selah. I'll tell you what, that's powerful scripture as it describes that final scenario. I'll tell you what, here he comes. He's going to come. He's not going to keep silence. Oh, it's going to be a noisy event as the trump of God sounds. Then in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to come, bringing vengeance upon this world, ready to judge it. Oh, yes, that fire is going to devour around them. Yes, they might think that they're fighting against God and that they have advantage, and they might have all gathered together there in Armageddon. But I'll tell you what, oh, there's none like our God. There is none like him, and no one's going to bring him down. He's going to come. He's going to come to judge. He's going to come with wrath for those that have not listened and embraced the gospel. Praise the Lord. Going to one other place here, going to Joel, where it also describes this in the third chapter. Joel, the third chapter, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves and come. Ah, ye heathen, gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Oh, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. See that day of God's vengeance, the day when he will judge. And he's calling the heathen together. They're called together, thinking that they're going to fight against God and his armies. It says, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. That tells us in verse 16, and how I love this verse. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh, praise the Lord. Everything is going to come to a complete halt. It's going to be over one of these days. Oh, yes, they may have gathered together. Yes, they may have united together as one army against the Lord and his people. But God's going to prove himself. They are going to know who God is, just as the Egyptians found out when they were drowned in that Red Sea who God was, that God meant business, and that you better not, you know, try to confound the Lord. You better not fight against God. You better not do it, because there is none like our God in might and in power. There is none like him that could be feared like unto our God and respected. All the awesomeness of our God and Savior, who knows how to save his people. Oh, praise the Lord when that day comes. Oh, yes, the day of the Lord. That day of decision when he comes. Oh, yes, things begin to happen. Oh, yes, as the sun and moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw their shining as this world begins to fall apart completely. Oh, yes, elements melting with fervent heat. You know, the heavens being destroyed completely, being burnt up, and all the works of this earth being burnt up. The Lord comes with his eternal, devastating fire. There he comes. And there it is. It's not going to be a quiet event by any means. I like this description here, as it was also in the 50th chapter of Psalms. Here it is. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Oh, they're going to hear him as he comes forth to deliver his people, to set his people free, to utter his voice. It's going to be heard. They're going to know who our God is. It's never going to be the same. Oh, yes. His judgment will be final. It will be complete. But I love how the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, yes. I there may be times when we're confused and we don't know what to think, and all those whys and wonders, if, you know, come across our mind, and we're trying to sort out what's going on and figure it out and understand. But you know, we serve a mighty God who's never confused. He's never perplexed. He's never lost for thoughts and for ways. He's always on top of everything, our wonderful God. If we're serving him, he's going to fight for us. He's going to deliver us. He knows how to come at the very last moment. So if it so be, and set us free, to give us the finances that we need, or, you know, the deliverance that we need, or, you know, the hope that we need, whatever it might be. Oh, yes, our God can do it. If he did it for the children of Israel, he does it for his people today. And I'll tell you, before this is ended, yes, he's going to come. Our God is a consuming fire, and he's going to come to devour. Oh, to destroy, show forth his wrath, to take vengeance on this world. Oh, they're going to see anger that they've never seen before. But how wonderful it is going to be for those that are on the Lord's right hand. Oh, the strength of the children of Israel. Yes, the hope of the children of Israel, the people of God. Here he is, he comes forth. As, you know, that sickle is put forth to reap the earth. On the other hand, he's coming forth to deliver his people, to set them free, those that are his. And he knows them that are his. God knows who his people are. He's put his mark upon us. You know, we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've been baptized in his name, and that seal is upon his people, and he knows who we are. And he knows our needs. He knows our distresses. He knows the confusion that surrounds us at times. But praise the Lord, he's a good shepherd. He loves us. He knows his sheep. And they know him. They know his voice. And he knows how to lead us. He knows how to direct us. He knows how to keep us. I praise the Lord. Oh, we are in good hands. We're in the Lord's hands. And what a wonderful thing it is. Oh, yes. As God brings forth his judgment, it will mean everything to be at the Lord's right hand. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need not fear, but we can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord for whatever our need is. Oh, yes, whatever it is. If we need deliverance, we need hope, we need salvation, we need healing. There's nothing too hard for God. Why should we limit him? That was a mistake the children of Israel made time and time again. They limited him. You know, they didn't give him the authority that he needed. They didn't give him the credence that he was needed. They didn't, you know, give him the respect that was needed. They limited him. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who can do all things. And nothing is too hard for him. And he knows every obstacle and every predicament. And you know, he brings us to these certain points so that we can grow and we can become stronger and we can have a testimony. And you know, we can see beyond the things here on earth. Put our faith, our trust, our hope in the one who knows how to set us free and bring us through every obstacle and trouble. I praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Would you talk to our hearts? And oh, God, we know that day of your wrath is coming. I just pray, oh, Lord, that you would move in such a way to meet the needs of thy people, Lord, to deliver mightily, oh God, to show us, oh God, and to help us, Lord, give us, oh Lord, the right heart and the right attitude, oh God, the faith that we need to fight the fiery darts, oh God, that come our way, try to cause confusion and doubt and fear, oh God, and misgivings, and oh Lord, complaints. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you would be here to give us faith and to deliver us. Oh Lord, help us to stand on thy wonderful promises, thy pure, precious promises, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to open our chorus books and go to number 151. 151, be still and know that I am God. Number 151. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. blood among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God is God. Praise the Lord.